things for prayer. Continue to pray for Linda Mary, if you will. She is at home from the hospital. Thank the Lord for that. But she is still recovering, so please pray for her that the Lord would help her. Also, Keisha texted me this morning, said that she woke up really sick today, so please remember her in prayer also, if you will. And so pray for these folks. I don't have any other prayer requests as far as people that have called me and let me know, but it's good to be here today. Good to have Brad back with us as well from his trip. A blessing to have him back with us today in the service. He'll be leading the singing for us here in just a moment, and Miss Lacey will be singing for us this morning. We'll have some preaching, and so we're thankful that you are here today, looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today, this morning, and this afternoon in our services. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. And Brother Brad will be making his way this way, and we'll sing together this morning. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church. It is a blessing to know the Lord. It is a blessing to be a part of this place. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us in a great way. I pray, Lord, for folks who are sick in body, not able to be here today. There are several of those folks. Would you please help them, minister unto them, help them to be well? And we thank you for that. Many folks, Lord, who are traveling that are not with us today, would you watch over them, take care of them, protect them, and help them? Many others, Lord, who will be going on vacation later today as well and this week, please help them also. Pray for that. I pray for the singing this morning. Pray for the congregational singing. Pray for Miss Lacey as she sings. And I do desire, Lord, that you would help us as we preach this morning. We sure need your help. We desire your help and your presence. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll not fail to thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Brad's coming, and he's going to lead us in our singing this morning. Good to be in church. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, brothers. Let's stand together. Please turn to hymn number 701. Tell it to Jesus, hymn 701.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks and bidden, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you since left to men's eyes are hidden, tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, He is a friend that's well known. You know others. such a friend or brother, tell him to Jesus alone.
Amen. Flip over just a few pages. There's 708. In that same vein, let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 708.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not give everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Comfort with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise those laid. Take and shield me. Thou wilt find a soul is there.
Let's sing one more together. I'm going to throw this on Sister Ada here. 455. Number 455, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Yes, it does. redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I seek, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my soul. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guarded my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansions for me, and truth with the Spirit's made perfect, and home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for the good singing this morning and the good song choices. What a blessing. I am His child. I've been redeemed. What a blessing. And because of that, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I can certainly tell Him all about it. What a blessing. Appreciate that this morning and the congregation and the good singing. Good to have Brother Brad back as well. Certainly did enjoy that this morning. Well, I need to mention one thing. Miss Lacey is going to be coming to sing for us while she's doing that. On August the 7th and 8th, that is a Friday afternoon and a Saturday, last year I took a group of young men to a Timothy conference at the, well, I forgot the name of the church all of a sudden. It's in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I took a group of young men to that last year. We had a great time. And there's a couple of young men that are interested in going again this year. So if any of you young men would like to go to that, if you would let me know, I need to know as soon as possible. And I'll be more than happy to take you to that meeting. It was a great meeting and for young men. So if you would like to attend that, you'd like to be a part of that, I would sure like to take you. So I need to know that as soon as possible. That'll be a Friday afternoon. We'll come home Friday night, and we'll go back on Saturday, and it'll be the large portion of the day on Saturday. But it's a great time of fellowship, good preaching, and a lot of learning as well, and a lot of resources for young men also. So if you're interested in that, please let me know, if you will, pretty quickly, so I can register for that. Thank you so much.
It rests near.
That singing this morning, that good song, that's a blessing. I mentioned one other thing about this. Timothy, it's at the Safe Harbor Baptist Church in Salisbury. Last year at that Timothy conference, TJ had been talking to me a great deal about missions, and he wasn't real sure. He thought so. He was praying about it. He felt like that's what the Lord wanted him to do. And that preacher that was preaching, Dr. Scott Caudill, who is actually the director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, which is where the mission board that TJ is with, that preacher was preaching, and he came right down the aisle, pointed his finger right in TJ's face, and said, "You better do what the Lord wants you to do, because time is running out." All of us young men, we went out to the table to eat after the service, and TJ said, "I think that preacher was talking to me." And all of us said, "We think he was talking to you as well." Amen. So that was a real blessing. So if any of you young men would like to go, or any of you men would like to go, please let me know. I need to get us registered for that conference. If you'd like to go with us, that'd be a blessing. All right, let's stand together. We'll shake hands and fellowship for just a moment. You children that are 7 and under that want to go to children's church, you'll be making your way to the children's church at this time. Thank you.
face unto thee.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you all very much. All right, appreciate that this morning. Appreciate the good music, the good singing. Sure has been a blessing. Appreciate that. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with us, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We have been preaching for a good while, off and on the home and the family. We'll continue that today with the help of the Lord. We've talked about several different topics along those lines. We've talked about what is a home. We talked about three homes that we all need. About the foundations of a home. Four principles to govern your family relationships. 10 humanistic myths that are destroying our homes. 5 pillars of a strong marriage and a strong home. And recently we talked about the God-ordained intentions of the home. We talked about the God's intentions for the wife and God's intentions for the marriage and God's intentions for the husband. And we've talked about several things along those lines that go along with that. About meeting the needs of the wife, meeting the needs of the husband last week. We talked about some recipes for war in your home, recipes for peace in your home. Today I want to talk about a simple thing, which all of this is practical preaching. And I think that is exactly what we need in our lives is some practical preaching. I like good, strong meat of the word and all of that as well. But we need some practical preaching about our lives and our home. And today I want to talk about the paramount place of the home and the family, or the preeminence. Maybe I should just use that word. The preeminence of marriage and the home. The Lord places those things. They are a priority of His, and they certainly should be a priority of ours as well. And so I will read here from the scripture in Titus chapter 2 in just a moment. But I want to mention just a couple of things, maybe by introduction. The only defense for this next generation is going back to the ideas and the principles that God has laid down for us and following what thus saith the Lord instead of the ideas and the ideology of the evolutionists and the leaders of our day, the entertainers and Hollywood and all of that kind of garbage that is doing everything that it can to undermine the home and the importance of the home. And so hopefully the Lord will allow me to show you from the Bible today, nothing new, I promise you that, but to remind us from the scripture that God places His priority upon the marriage and the home. Now, when preachers get to preaching along these lines, there will be someone who will say, well, I don't know why we don't just get back to preaching the Bible, or why we don't just get back to preaching Bible doctrine or Bible preaching. I promise you there is no Bible preaching or doctrine more important other than the salvation of the soul than the home and the family. And so may the Lord help us today, this Bible, this truth of the home and the family, the marriage and the family. They are Bible doctrines, and they are issues that deal with the home. The Bible refers to them as sound doctrine. And so we're going to read that right from the Bible. Look what the Bible says in Titus chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read several verses. Here in these verses I'm going to read, we're going to see aged men, aged women, young men, servants. And in the topic of those verses, it is having to do with our conduct, or how we should live, how we should act, what we're supposed to do. And the Bible refers to those actions as being sound doctrine. And we certainly do need sound doctrine. So let's read. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, immediately after that phrase, the Bible continues, and as it does, it begins to give instruction to these different groups of individuals that I have already mentioned, the aged men, the aged women, the young women, the young men, and then to the servants. So there is some instruction. Verse 2 says that the aged men be sober. That has the idea of being of a sound mind. If you're not sober, I'll use the alcohol or under the influence of drugs or alcohol for a moment. You, if you're not sober, you're not in your right mind. And so being sober has to do, the Bible speaking, using that term in this context, has to do with you being in your right mind. Has the idea of you being of a sound mind. Your mind is not being altered or influenced by things that should not be influencing your behavior, your mind, your attitude. And so the aged men be sober. Then it says to be grave. Well, that has to do with being serious. We'll use an understanding or a terminology that we can all understand when we talk about a graveyard. That is a serious thing. It is an unchangeable thing. If you are in the grave, there's no changing that. It is a permanent condition. The Lord wants us as aged men. Now, it's not necessarily speaking of a age as far as your birth date and how old you are, as it is that God wants men to be spiritually mature. And whatever that age is for you as a man, that you have came to a place in your life where you are striving to follow the teaching of the Bible, wanting to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the love of the Lord, one of the characteristics of that individual is that he is sober. He is of a sound mind. He is of a serious mindset. He is grave in his intentions. He is serious. And listen, living for God is a serious thing. Being the man of the house is a serious thing. Being the husband of a wife is a serious thing. Being a father of children is a serious thing. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be looked upon as many folks do. Just something that happened, and here I am. No, it is something that we ought to consider and take seriously, the position that God has placed us in and the priorities that we have in our life and the things that God expects of us in our life. They are grave. And so we have sober, I'll get to preach it in a minute. We have sober, we have grave, and then we have temperate. And so God wants us to be temperate. That means that we are content. That means we're not rash. We're not we're not doing things out hastily, or we're not doing things without considering the consequence, or we're not doing things without considering the ramifications of our, you know, every decision that we make has a list of things that are going to follow, whether those things be good or whether those things be bad. And oftentimes, it seems that my dad, I love my dad, probably one of the greatest men that I've ever known. I don't just say that because he's my dad. I say that because I lived with him all of those years and then followed his example all those years after. And he was a very temperate man. If he had one flaw, it was that he was slow to make a decision. He was very temperate. Sometimes I will make the statement to my wife, I say the same thing that many of you do when you get my age, and that is I get more and more like my mom or my dad, and I used to, decisions just came quickly. And it's not that they were not important, and it's not that they didn't matter, but it seems that I made those decisions oftentimes hastily without considering the ramifications. And then the older you get, you realize that every decision in your life has serious consequences one way or the other. And so you want to be temperate as you grow older. You want to weigh the cost of that decision, and you want to be settled in your decision that it lines up with what thus saith the Lord, that is pleasing to God, that is right in the sight of the Lord, and that is doing your fellow man a due service that is pleasing to God. And so as aged men, God wants us to be sober. He wants us to be grave. He wants us to be temperate. Now listen, I don't think that is impossible apart from the next phrase that is mentioned in the Scripture, and that is sound in faith. Now, you say, why is that so important? Because if we're not sound in what we believe about this Bible and what this Bible teaches, then how can we be grave? How can we be sober? How can we be temperate if we don't have something upon which to base our foundation? And our foundation is this Bible. It's not Hollywood. It's not entertainment. It's not the political parties. It's the Word of the living God that we must base our faith in, and we must be sound in that faith. I like this. The Bible talks about sound doctrine, and we want sound doctrine. We want to live properly. And in order to do so, we must be sound in our faith. And you say, sound, preacher, you're talking about noise? No, I'm not talking about noise. I'm talking about healthy. Years ago, we had horses. And we had several horses, numerous horses. I still love horses. They're probably still my favorite animal. And if you were talking to somebody about purchasing a horse, or if you were involved in the horse business, one of the key words would be that horse is sound, meaning that horse was healthy. He wasn't lame. He was in good condition. As far as is known by the owner and the veterinarian, he doesn't have any health issues. His feet are in good shape. His knees, his hips, his joints are in good shape. He is a sound horse. He is in good shape. You know what good doctrine is? It's sound doctrine. And that doctrine has to do with the way that we live our lives. And we need to be sound in our faith. It needs to be healthy. It needs to be in good health. And this is the only way that our faith can be sound. The Bible says that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to be an aged man that is grave, that is sober, that is temperate. You're going to have to spend time in this book. We're good at spending time everywhere else. The Lord wants us to spend time in His Word. Now, so we're to be the aged men, that they be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. And then, now look, He wants us to be sound in faith. And then it says in charity. So you know what the Lord also, He also wants us to be sound in charity. Now, there's a lot of definitions we could use for charity. I think let me read it. It slipped my mind for just a moment. I'll turn that real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I may or may not get to my notes after a while. We'll see. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Bible says in the last verse of that chapter, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so charity has to do with love in a giving connotation or in a giving nature. And so the Lord wants us to be healthy in our loving to give, not just monetarily, but giving of ourselves. As a husband to our wives, as a father to our children, as a pastor to our church, as a church member to the other congregants. God wants us to be sound in charity. And then in patience. And so if we're following the line of thought, sound in faith, sound in charity. And so then there would be sound in patience. Now, if there's one thing that the majority, I don't know, I'll just say me, I don't know about you. If there's one thing that I want to, you know, I just seemed to think when I was earlier, when I was younger, that as I got older, patience would just be a natural thing. You know, you get older, I even thought life would slow down, but that ain't happened either. And you just ain't able to move as fast. Life ain't slowed down. You just ain't as able to do as much, but life ain't slowed down any. But I know patience would just come naturally. And some days I'm pretty sound in patience. And other days, if you sit in front of me too long when you should have pulled out in traffic, yesterday, nah, I ain't. I had just told my wife yesterday I was sitting behind this car. I don't know what the problem was. It was from New Jersey. That was a problem. I was sitting behind this car on 601, and my wife and I, we were talking, we're going on vacation this coming week, and we was just talking about, the week, and just being patient, trying to relax, rest, have a good time, and this car just kept sitting there. I'm sitting behind this car in traffic, and then traffic stops and the car just keeps sitting there. And so I said, I'm going to have patience tomorrow, but right now this car just needs to get out of my way. And so, but the Lord wants us to be sound in patience. He wants us to have good, healthy patience. Lord, help us with that. Lord, help me with that. And so, look, I'm just reading the verse. For all of you women that just rejoiced, the next phrase is the age women likewise. You know what that means? The Lord wants you to be sound in patience as well. And Lord help you because you had to put up with us. So the aged men, be sober, verse 2, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young men, young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Talk about sound and patience and being obedient to your own husbands. Lord, help you, ladies. That the Word of God, and here's how important, listen, people, you read these things, and you read the Bible, and you see the implications and the instruction that God has given us. And oftentimes we read that as letters on a page, and we even joke about it, and we lightheartedly make mention of it, but God doesn't. I'll show you how serious He is about it. And I've mentioned it numerous times before, and I'll continue to mention it because it is a serious matter. The end of verse number 5 says that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now, can we recap? I may never get to the message this morning. It doesn't matter. Can I recap? Sir, if we claim to be an aged man spiritually and we have no desire to be sober, we have no desire to be grave, we have no desire to be temperate, we're not sound in the faith, we're not sound in charity, and we're not patient, before we run all the way to verse 5 and throw all of that on the ladies, we're blaspheming the Word of God. There's no break in the context. Well, these men are thinking, well, I really liked it better when that was following the ladies' comment. Yeah, and the comment to the men came before the comment to the ladies. And it all ended with, if you're not on board with this, this is how serious it is to God. You do all of these things that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. Well, I've still got two friends. Now, look at verse number 6. Continuing, to be discreet. I'm sorry, that was verse number 5. So verse number 6 starts with young men. Likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Go all the way back to the age men. So young men, you ought to be sober-minded as well. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, here's our doctrine again. In doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. All of this has to do with our manner of living. God help us to get back to living right. I don't know if there's one thing that I have noticed in 30 years of trying to follow the Lord, serve the Lord. I've been in church way longer than that. I'm talking about in my own personal life, trying to live for God, trying to serve the Lord, and I've failed numerous times. Please don't misunderstand me. But I have never in my life seen a day like we're living in when people who profess to be saved, profess to know the Lord, profess to be Christians, profess to love God, they don't act like they know God, they don't dress like they believe in God, they don't talk like there is a God, they go to places that godly people would never go, and they do things that godly people would never participate in, and continue to live their life like, I love God and everything is okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. Say, boy, the preacher's mad today. I'm just reading the Bible. There's a problem in our homes. And there's a problem in our hearts. And there's a problem in our lives. And I'll tell you what it is. We have gotten away from this, and we've really fell in love with this. So this has replaced this. And so instead of this guiding our lives, this does. Instead of this consuming our time, this does. Instead of us following what this says, we follow what this says. I remember years ago, I'll never forget it. I remember years ago, I was in a youth meeting, and the preacher that was preaching, he said, the far country is not as far away as it used to be. And he took his phone out, and he said, it's only an arm's length away. And that is the truth. It has sucked the life out of our young people. And it's not all pointed at the young people. It is sucking the life out of adults who are sitting on our church pews who spend way more time with social media and YouTube and Facebook and whatever else there all is out there than they ever do with the Bible. And then a preacher stands up and begins to preach the Word of God. And you say, that man is just old-fashioned. No, he's Bible-fashioned. Our homes are a mess and our lives are a wreck. And we're living like Jezebel on Saturday and singing, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday. And I get so sick of these country music singers. They dress like harlots. They speak of adultery. They drink like a fish. And they stand on the stage and their last song, oh, how I love Jesus. You're a hypocrite, a liar, and a deceiver. And you're damning the souls of young people to hell because they think it's all right. It's not all right. Well, let's just keep reading. It's a good book. Now, so we've had, so far, if you've kept up, young aged men, aged women, young men, and now verse number 9, it goes to servants. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Now, I know this servant here, we would use the idea of employment. You have an employer, you're an employee. You should do what you're told. If you don't like it, get another job. I'll tell you, listen, we're just so far out of bounds and claim to be God-fearing, God-loving, God-honoring Christians. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says to stop back talking. Your employer says, you need to do this. You got two choices. You do it or quit. And might I remind you that quitting is not always a good way to go. Jobs aren't quite as free as they used to be. Before I got married, my wife and I, as mentioned this many times, it's true, there were so many textile companies before the NAFTA agreement and all that stuff that sent everything overseas and the government sold us out. But that's a whole other soapbox for a different day. But when I was 16, I started working in a textile mill. There were so many textile mills in Mount Airy, I could have got mad at my job on Friday at said mill and start a job on Monday at a different mill. And if I didn't like it, I would quit on Wednesday and I could start another job and another one on Thursday. That is no exaggeration. You ask anyone from around here my age, they'll tell you that's the truth. But that's not the case anymore. You can't get jobs like that. So you better think about that before you puff up, blow up, and get mad and quit. You may not find another job for a while. But look, none of that even had anything to do with what I was getting at. Look at the end of verse number 9. Let me read the verse again. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Now look at this. Not answering again. In other words, stop back talking. Stop bickering. When they say something, when they tell you something, when they ask you something, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Even if you don't have the wherewithal to sass them to their face, you turn around and sass them to the fellow employees when they walk off. I wish the preacher would just, stop reading the Bible? Hey, the Bible's an amazing book. Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. He is soon to become the first pastor of the church of Ephesus that Paul founded. And he is giving this young man wise instruction for the ministry. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, they're pastoral epistles. They have primarily to do with instruction of how the pastor is to conduct the church, how the people in the church are supposed to behave. It has to do with, that's a whole other sermon. But look, here's what I'm getting at. Paul's not writing to lost people that don't know God. He's writing to the elite of the Christians of his day. And he is encouraging the aged man and the aged woman and the young man and the young woman to live lives that are pleasing to God. And then it's almost as if he said, oh, by the way, and you that are employees and employers, I have something to say to you as well. Behave yourselves wisely in that position. And this is what amazes me. You know the next two words are in verse number 10? Not purloining. You know what purloining is? Stealing. Wait a minute, preacher. You just said he's talking to saved people, the cream of the crop, the top of the line. He's talking to the soon-to-be pastor. He's encouraging him in the Lord. He's encouraging these people in the Lord. He said, when they tell you what to do, just keep your mouth closed. And by the way, stop stealing. That's about how I looked when I read it, too. You know why that's in the Bible? Because Christians steal. Same reason sound in faith is in the Bible, because all Christians are not sound in their faith.
not purloining, but showing good fidelity. Are you faithful? God wants, you know, the Bible says, in fact, I'm this Lord willing, I probably shouldn't say, I don't know if I'm going to or not, but it's really been on my heart a lot lately. This afternoon, the evening service, Lord willing, I will finish up on our problem text, which has been a labor-intensive thing, I understand. But this afternoon, I'll finish up that. And what's really been on my heart a great deal lately is faithfulness. Or I should say, the lack thereof. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so here's the thing. This is an unusual generation that we're living in. It's not simply that people are not faithful to church. They ought to be. They're not faithful to the responsibilities in church. They should be. And that is evident of a few things. They're not faithful to prayer. They're not faithful to Bible reading. They're not faithful to the things of the Lord. And we ain't even got outside the church walls yet. They're not faithful to their spouse. They're not faithful to their children. They're not faithful to their job. They're not faithful to their employee. You think about this. In the context of what we just read, Paul is given all this sound doctrine. Boy, I want to be in a church that has sound doctrine. I don't know if you know what sound doctrine means. Because it's a healthy dose of how you're supposed to live and how I'm supposed to live as a believer. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you fall in one or more of every one of these categories that I've mentioned. I don't know if you're an aged man or a young man, but you're one or the other. I don't know if you're an aged woman or a young woman, but you're one or the other. I don't know if you're a servant or an employee, but if you're old enough, you should be one or the other. Not stealing, not purloining. I'm not changing the Bible. It's telling what the word means. But showing all good fidelity. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? God wants us to be dependable. Can we depend on you? Can your employer depend on you? Can your spouse depend on you? Can your children depend on you? Can the church depend on you? Now look. Again, I want you to see how serious of a matter this is to the Lord. To us, sometimes these things don't mean much to us. But they mean a lot to God. Look at the end of verse 10. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You know what our life is? It's a light that's shining in a dark world. And we need Christians who will be lights in this world. We're to be the salt of this earth. We have became very, I'm talking about the Christianity as a whole, we've became very unsalty. I do not blame, now I'm not getting political, I'm not pumping one political party over the other or throwing the other under the bus. I'm telling you what's wrong in our country. It's got nothing to do with who's in office. It's got everything to do with aged men and aged women. And young men and young women who claim to be Christians, but their life doesn't show it. That's what's wrong in our country. Others cannot see the light. Others cannot taste the salt. They're left in darkness, and they have no savor to desire. You know why? Because we claim to know Jesus, and we dress like they do. We claim to know Jesus, and we listen to the same music they listen to. We claim to know Jesus, and we attend the same events they attend. We claim to know Jesus, but our life is no different than theirs. You can't be a light And you can't be salty if you can't be different. God called you to be a peculiar people. Well, I never did get to the text today, but I'm going to have the piano player to come. I'm just going to stop right there. I will say this, and maybe I'll preach that. I was going to preach on the children next Sunday as part of my home and family series. And I may get to that, but I may preach what I intended to preach this morning, and that's the preeminence of marriage in the home. I'll tell you, I will just make one statement about that. The home was created by God in Genesis chapter 2. Prior to God's creation of the government in Genesis chapter 9, and although I know that there were the temple, the tabernacle, and all that, we see the creation of the church in the New Testament. God's pinnacle of creation is man. And then after he created the woman and brought her under the man, he made a statement. He said, "It is good." It's the pinnacle of God's creation is the home, the man and the woman, and the bringing of them together to replenish the earth. God help us to understand how important that is in the eyes of God and how important it ought to be in our eyes as well. While she plays this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few moments, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to do business with the Lord. He is so faithful. He is so wonderful. His greatest desire is to help you. Ever heard the phrase, someone would say that they have your best interest at heart? I promise you that could never be truer than of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has your greatest interest at heart. May the Lord help us to submit and surrender our lives to His will and His authority.